Lots of happy smiling faces this morning. Just one or two people may not know who I am. So I'm Gareth, married to Gwyn. I'm a little bit loud, actually. Can you just turn me down a touch? Yeah. Only mention Gwyn, not only, but partly because we've been on a bit of a journey over the last year or so. And both of us having stopped doing what we were doing before, Gwyn teaching and me being a business analyst. I've changed my office life for a life in the garage, converting it into a workshop and then trying to be creative with wood. So making small items and furniture, that kind of thing. And doing that has shown me a little bit about what the possibility of a partnership could look like. And it's also something that, and the only reason that I mention the journey is because it's something that I probably wouldn't have realised had I carried on working in an office, being a business analyst. Probably if I'd stayed doing the same kind of work, the kind of things that have happened to me, to us over the last year or so, wouldn't have happened. And so it's taken us to a certain place. And I guess I want to say that if nothing resonates with you today, it might be that you're in a different place. If something resonates, if something you like the idea, then great, hang on to that. I'd also like to say that I'm not a preacher, I'm not a theologian. I've used some Bible verses, but this is more about something that I've been thinking about rather than a preach. And I get really nervous when it's preached because that's huge responsibility, but it's not. It's for me, it's more of a talk, more of a chat kind of thing. And I'm going to try and string some thoughts together and things that have come to mind over the last couple of months or so. And like when Sam said, would you like to talk on this subject in March? This was, I can't remember, way back in January maybe? No, you didn't. And I thought, well, it seemed a good idea at the time, but the closer it gets, you know, you kind of think, oh dear. So any Bible references and all that kind of stuff, look at them. It's more illustrative rather than theological. So sorry about that. So if you're expecting a hellfire and damnation preach, sorry, it's tough. That's next week. Yeah. But yeah, back to prayerfulness next week. So, a vision of being in partnership. And of course, you look at the word partnership, what does it mean? And the first thing that struck me, excuse me, about this definition was it uses the words partners in the actual definition. Hope you can see that at the back, it's not too small. It's a relationship of which two or more people, organisations or countries work together as partners. So using the partners in the definition doesn't really fit. So what is a partner? It's either of a pair of people engaged in the same activity, one of a pair of dancers, or a pair who are playing a sport or a game together, especially when the pair are playing as a team. Now, I don't know about you, but you kind of think of that. What's the first thing that comes to mind? What kind of partner? Some of these. Yeah. And, yeah, but who can remember who the little lad was? Yeah, you see, so someone who might show your age, might not. Anybody? No? And then you look at some of them and you think, oh, it could be a bit ambiguous. So the one at the bottom, is that Adam and the Ants? Oh, yeah, you didn't think of that one, did you? Yeah. Or Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel, yeah, at the bottom. It could be Paul and Jill, yes, I didn't think of that one. Yeah. So, of course, did anyone get the Skippy one? No. Yeah, you could change if you got Wi-Fi. Yeah, so obviously these the Batman and the Robin was the first one that came into my head, and it's not the modern day portrayals of Batman, you know, in the films. They're a bit kind of dark and a bit, I was thinking more of the comic book Batman and Robin. Again, so it's appealing the older ones. We're all a bit younger, so Ant and Dec, they're current, I guess. ish. Adam and Eve. But the thing that struck me about those as I was thinking about them was that they all kind of have a few things that are in common. So they all have a common goal, whatever that goal might be, fighting crime, beating the baddies, making us laugh, the two Ronnies, or Morecambe and Wise. So they've got a common goal. They're complementary. So they've each got different kinds of skills, Batman and Robin. One's maybe a leader, one's maybe a follower, but they all got their own things, Skippy and Sunny, you know. Who can remember all that? Yeah. But they've got their own personalities. Even though there might be a leader, there's still a follower, and the follower isn't a slave kind of person. It's not a second rate, but they've got their own. They bring their own thing to the party. They work together. Often one will take the lead, and the other will follow. But they have they use their own initiative. Some of them, they do actually achieve their objectives at the end of the comic strip. You know, the baddies are always defeated, unless it's a series, in which case you've got to wait for the next one. And also, they probably recognise, so they're all partners, but they probably recognise that they couldn't do it on their own. We know of them as partners because, you know, Sherlock Holmes on his own, is he going to solve things without Dr. Watson? Well, possibly. Dr. Watson on his own, he probably needs a Sherlock Holmes. Adam, does he need Beneve? Well, they'll probably be a bit lonely on their own. Now, I read this, and I'll really look for it again in Genesis, but I just couldn't find it, so I'll read this out. So, Adam recognised that he was feeling lonely, and so he asked God for some company. That's no problem, God replied. I'll make you a perfect mate. She'll be beautiful and clever. She'll also look after your every need and never argue with you. However, perfection is expensive, so she'll cost you an arm and a leg. Adam thought about this for a while, and he said, so what can you give me for a rib? And you've got to make the most of it, haven't you, while you're here. You're only here once, so you know. So generally the partners couldn't do it alone. So when we're thinking about partners and partnerships, we're thinking about what common goals have we got, how do we work together, complementary skills, personalities. Perhaps as a leader, perhaps as a follower, and recognising that we couldn't do it alone. And then I was also reflecting on Ed's talk, sat right at the back. A few weeks ago, he was talking about the oak trees, do you remember? And he mentioned symbiotic relationships. And Gwyn and I both came away and said, well, she probably knew, but I didn't. I thought, what is a symbiotic relationship? Now, Ed explained a little bit about that, about the way... Yeah. But what you didn't say, there were different kinds. There's three main kinds of symbiotic relationships, and there's also other kinds as well. There's about seven or so that are defined, but I picked out these three. So there's the first one is a mutual benefit, where both partners have mutual benefit in the relationship together. So the common example is one that you've probably seen on wildlife documentaries, where the bird is pecking bits of food out of the crocodile's mouth. So the bird, have you seen those? So the bird is getting the food from the crocodile's mouth, and the crocodile is getting his teeth cleaned. So there's a mutual benefit. And obviously the crocodile doesn't eat the bird because he wouldn't get his teeth cleaned, but the bird's eating the rotten bits of flesh that are stuck in the mouth. So there's a mutual benefit. The next one is called commensalism, where only one benefits, and the other one is neither helped nor harmed. Again, you've probably seen it. You know, the fish that are kind of not stuck, but they kind of stick themselves onto the side of a shark or a whale or a ray. And what they're doing is they're just getting dragged along by the... you've probably seen them, have you? Yeah?
I've
had one stick on me. Have you? All right. Yeah. So they generally, they're eating the scraps that the shark or the whale has missed. So they're getting benefit. So I don't know what you're having for your lunch, Mel, but... they're obviously eating the tuna sandwich. Yeah. So they're benefiting, but Mel's not been harmed at all. So the shark or the whale has not been harmed. So that's one kind, another kind of partnership. And the third one that I picked out was the parasitism, or whatever it's called. Yeah. So another example there is our common example of ticks that you get even in Bradgate Park. You know, deer ticks, that kind of thing. So if you're going through the bracken, they can stick on your legs. They will suck your blood, so they benefit, but they can also pass on disease, so you don't benefit. So you potentially lose twice. One, you lose a tiny bit of blood, and two, you might get a disease. So there's three kind of main kinds of partnership. Which one do we think we want to go for? Probably the top one. Probably a mutual benefit for both partners, and possibly the second one, maybe one where one party gains, but the other one is certainly not harmed, and certainly want to avoid the third one. So maybe we can add a mutual benefit for both partners to our list of things for partnership. So, who should we partner with? I think we can partner with God to start with. Not to say that we're his equal, but we are his sons and daughters. And it just seems like a good thing to do. If whatever we do, we include God. But one other thing God asks us to do is he asks us to take on more. So he said, and again, these are the first verses that came to mind as I was thinking about this. So it's not a great theological thing, but in Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I kind of like this verse, but it kind of makes me think, hang on, a lot of people in this world are really under the cosh, either at work or at home, and is God actually asking us to take on more? Is he actually asking us to take on more of a load? And that doesn't kind of seem right, especially when he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so there were two images that came to mind. The one on the left is actually one where you've also seen images, you know, with a single yoke, where the person just carrying a yoke across their shoulders and heavy weights on the side, and it means that they can carry more. And I kind of like this second image here, this one with the double yoke. I don't know what it's called. And I like this picture because it's got two cattle, one larger than the other. And I like that because it said, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So what's God actually saying? Perhaps he's saying, take my yoke upon you and I'm going to share your burden. I'll give you a bit to take as well, but God's going to be in this pair, there's the lead cattle, or what is it, a cow? I don't know, somebody probably knows the proper name for whatever it is, and the smaller one. And I kind of like that image of me being the smaller one and God being the bigger one. So we're walking along together, I need to do my bit, or we need to do our bit, and God needs to do his bit as well. But God takes the load for his burden is light, his yoke is easy, when we share that load with him. So when we take him with us, then it's a lot better than just trying to carry. That's Mike carrying up his pack when he's off camping. So does this fit with a kind of a view of partnership? I think it does. We've also got to remember that it's God who does the work. So we have a part to play, whether it's planting seed, whether it's watering, but God has a part to play as well. So we can't make a plant grow. All we can do is provide the things that a plant needs, but it's God that gives the life. So I think it's also important to remember that that God is part of it, and we can partner with him in some way. And then a final image that came to mind was this one. So do we partner with others in Christ? So this is Moses when they've just come out of the promised land. Joshua is they're taking the land. Joshua's fighting the Amalekites. And God said, so Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning, but whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. And when Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Again, it's a picture of, although we're doing it with God, we're doing it with each other as well. So together we can do much more. So it's a view of partnership that we help each other. And also there's a bit of strategy in where, wasn't it handy having a stone there that that Moses could sit on? It might be one of those problem-solving exercises, but how do you keep somebody with their hands up like this for 24 hours? Well, get them to sit down, get you to sit down. There could be any number of ways, you know, build a tower of straws and all that kind of stuff, you know, the kind of things that you do. But it was just an image, a picture of the fact that we're in this together. So I think we can add to our slide partnership, what it's about. We can add God's values, so we're sharing his load, and also we're in it together as a team, Team RBC. And then I was thinking about, so what does being in partnership look like? How do we do it? I think we need to be clear what our goals are. What's our purpose? What kind of things do we want to do? So we already mentioned loads of things, such as the well-being. It's the current hot topic. We've got the Hub Grub. We've got Nappuccinos. Sorry, I'm going to read a little bit of the list because I'm scared I'd forget them, but I probably haven't got them all. Nappuccinos. We've got the Honeycomb. Youth work, school work. And we've got all the output from the Vision Day. But I think we need to be clear on where we want to go. There's loads of directions that we could do, and we could partner with each other and with other organisations within the village, but we just need to be a little bit careful that we don't spread ourselves too thinly, and also we don't concentrate too narrowly. So we've probably as a church have got some work to do in pulling it all together and working out what we're going to do. And whatever we do decide to do, we've got to decide to do it and be clear and work out what the cost is and then just get on and do it. We've got to work out how much we can give. And this is individually and corporately. It might be well-being, it might be schools work, it might be youth work, it might be a blend, it might be working with a Honeycomb, it might be... we all know about the Young People Centre. It might be something there, or that might be a longer term thing. It's, you know, there's a number of empty properties in the village. Do we think about those? Let's not get bogged down in too much in the detail, but we need to be doing this clearly and carefully, I would suggest, so that we don't do too little and we don't do too much. Also remembering that I've missed that one, sorry. That we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So this is from Ephesians, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So perhaps we can see where God is already working. Sorry, gone too fast. Where God is already working in the village. Other churches, what are the other churches up to? Other organisations. There are quite a few organisations in the village, smaller ones, charities, just local clubs, things that we could potentially share with and get involved with. We don't necessarily have to have all of the great ideas. We can be the smaller cattle rather than the bigger cattle in that kind of illustration. Other people could be leading, we could be a follower, but we need to perhaps think about how we could do things with other groups and organisations. We also need to maybe think about who we're trying to help. What is our purpose in terms of what is our what kind of people do we want to be helping? Do we want people like us, the lonely, the poor, those people who have low confidence, self-esteem issues? So where do we want to put our focus? Building relationships. Some people don't even know that the Baptist Church exists in this village, partly because we don't have a building, partly because we meet here, partly because we don't shout a huge amount. We kind of just muck in quite a lot with various things. Maybe we need to be a little bit louder, perhaps, maybe a bit more visual. Who are we? Where are we? We should be the aroma of Christ. That's I can't remember where that was. I didn't write it down. And then I started thinking, And it's a bit of a personal view, this. So again, shoot me afterwards, not now, unless you're getting really fed up, in which case you've only got about 10 minutes to go, so you can shoot me then. So I suppose being a little bit older, the way we used to do church, maybe 20 or 30 years ago, it was all about evangelism. And perhaps my view is a little bit more mellow now, maybe with age, maybe the circumstances. So again, this is a personal view. Maybe my view is not to evangelise everybody I come in contact with. Maybe it's more along the lines of helping and sharing and caring for people, so that we can build a relationship, we can build a friendship, we can have trust and dependability that is mutual, that is both ways, and we can say, well, how can we go the extra mile? So there's no kind of evangelism in there. It's what can we do? What can I do to help you? Sarah, what can I do to help you this week? Mel, what can I do to help you this week? I can show you how to saw a piece of wood, but you know, what can I do to help you? Somebody who we just meet, who we know, a friend, what can I do to help you? And that is a kind of a way of partnering with them. And over time, and it might be something tangible, it might not be something tangible, it might be, you know, just giving them some time, it might be giving them a lift to the shops, and that's all it might need. But over time, we get to know them, and then when the real questions come up, there's a degree of relationship there that we might be in a position to then start introducing, well, actually, why am I doing this? I'm doing this because I care, primarily, but also I care because that's who God is. That's the kind of God that we worship, the God that wants to look out for people, to care for them, to love them. And then lastly, I think there's also an element of with, you know, with a little bit of caution and maybe a little bit of let's just try it and see if it works. We don't have to do things for the next 20 years. We can try something. I think the key is that if we say it's not just try it, oh, let's duck into this and do this and then we'll do this. It's commit to something and then finish that commitment. But it doesn't have to be that commitment for the next 10 years. It could only be for 6 months. And there's an element of try it and see. Only 7 minutes to go, sorry. So then I started thinking about what does a good partnership look like? And a year ago I went to Uganda with Jack, and I'd like to pick out Jack and Jane as a good example of partnership. Not that they're the only people in this room, in this church, but what they do is actually fantastic in Uganda. They recognise that they can't go and put in solar panels and put in the water pumps and put in the drainage. They're not the people to do that. But their view of partnership, I think, is what can we do? How can I help? Well, they can provide the project management. They can provide a little bit of finance. And then the people who are there, they're the people that do it. They take ownership. They take responsibility. They get the local people to do the work the people in the hospital to manage the work. And isn't that a great picture of partnership? It's being part of it, and it's owning it to some degree, but it's not actually doing everything. It's back to the, you know, the two cattle side by side. We each have a part to play, and what that could be like if we transfer that back to Rolling, to Uganda, back to Runnington, how could we work, you know, in partnership with other things? So the Men in Sheds, Gwyn works with Age UK. The Men in Sheds example is a great example of, it's a kind of a partnership. So you've got an organisation that employs maybe one person, lots of volunteers, lots of helpers. But what it does for the individuals that go along is tremendous. It gives them a lot of confidence, it boosts them, it gives them somewhere to go, it gives them a group to belong to, people to share with, things to do. And incidentally, it's called Men in Sheds, but it's not just for men, it's for women as well. So it's about being creative. Some of the things that we've perhaps lost maybe in this computerized world, that we don't necessarily make and create things anymore. And that's great for people who have low self-esteem, who need to be able to do those things. So how could we transfer that into Ruddington, maybe? What could it look like? And I've seen a little bit about that. I've said it before, you know, about the journey. I just, you know, a year or so ago, I met with a guy who I'd met 2.5 years ago now. And it's just offering a space. So we have a garage that we can work in, converting it into a workshop. I've got the space. This guy didn't have the space. But being able to offer him the space, so he comes over once a week, works in the workshop, it's done so much for him. And again, it makes me realise how easy it is to care by just saying, well, what can I do? What can I do for you? So that's probably about all I want to say. And I guess the rest are questions, really. So what do you think? What do you think about partnership? Is it good? Is it something that you want to be part of? Where does your heart lie? What kind of thing? Is it young people, old people, youth? Maybe you're just so bogged down, like the guy walking up the hill with a rucksack. You're so bogged down in the everyday lifeness of work, of family, of all the things that clutter your life, that actually you've not got no capacity at this time. And actually, you know, that's fine. All I'd say is maybe thinking about the double yoke rather than the single one, but I'm sure you're doing that anyway. It's just the way it is. We go through stages of life where things are really hard and sometimes things are a little bit easier. But that's okay. As a partnership, we can carry everybody together. And I guess the things for me, like I said at the beginning, over the last year, had I been carrying on working in an office, I probably wouldn't be in the same place that I'm in today. And it wasn't a great spiritual, theological thing. It was just, some of it started with, oh, it'd be nice to do something different. And seeing this guy and thinking, what can I do to help him? And that's as spiritual, if you like, as it gets. The verse for the year, Isaiah 61, verse 3. So from verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord, of the Sovereign Lord, is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from the darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And then the verse of the year. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendour. So I guess the questions are, who are the poor, the brokenhearted, the captives, the prisoners, the mourners, the grievers? Who should we partner with? What can we do together? And they, whoever they are, we need to work that out. They will only become oaks of righteousness if we do our part. If we could plant the acorns, if we could water the oak trees, it might seem a little thing. Remember, it's God that provides the life and makes things grow. Oak trees take a long time to grow. They might not take very long, actually, from an acorn to something that you can visually see, but to grow to full maturity can be a number of years. But we have to work out what that partnership could look like. And then just to finish, so this is from Ephesians 4. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all.